Well, thanks, Janice. Lynn was very excited that you're moderating with us today. She thinks very highly of you. I feel very short behind this podium. Can you see me okay? All right. Okay, well, I'm really pleased to be here today to share with you about the work that we're doing to empower teens to be change agents in their communities and what we set out to do this year in our first ever large quantitative study. Is there anything else I want to say about that? No. Okay. So, first of all, the credit for the analysis and the data collection and tutoring me in statistical analysis goes all to Catherine Becker, our research intern who's here with me in the front row. So many, many thanks to my co-authors, especially to Katie, for her great work on this. This is her master's thesis. This study is her master's thesis from Columbia University. And thank you also to our other co-authors from Einstein Medical College and our founder, Lynn Fredericks, and also our colleagues at HealthCore. We have no relationships to disclose. So Family Cook Productions is a small nonprofit. We're based out of New York City, and our mission is to bring people together around fresh, delicious, healthy food. And the way that we do that is we license and train educators to run our evidence-based curricula. And we do those programs are for all ages, you know, 2 through adult. We also have farm-to-school internship and job training programs. And currently we have about 100 programs running at sites in 16 states. Now, youth development through Teen Battle Chef is our flagship program. It's the program that I manage. And how it works is it's nutrition education that's done through hands-on cooking and leadership extension activities. And what we do is we train the educators to run and facilitate Teen Battle Chef, and then I mentor them as they run the program all over the United States. This is one of our educators, Loenki. He is getting trained to make jambalaya. And so there's hundreds of Teen Battle Chefs that are trained annually, and then they go on to use their new skills and knowledge to do leadership extensions in their community to build health. All right, so Teen Battle Chef, really what we're doing in Teen Battle Chef is we're reversing that trend of the common perceptions of teens in America, that they're troublemakers, they're unmotivated, they're really problematic. And we're revealing and then nurturing their enthusiasm for and their ability to make a significant difference in the health of their communities. So these teens are working at their internship at the Kensington Youth Market. It's a farmer's market run entirely by teenagers in an underserved area of Brooklyn. Our Teen Battle Chef program goals are very simple, but they range widely over the things that we're doing with the teens. And they go from learning to cook and learning basic nutrition knowledge, things like eating whole foods and learning how to decipher a recipe label, a nutrition label, to reading recipes and being able to plan and produce healthy meals, practicing teamwork and practicing public speaking so that they can do presentations and pass on their knowledge, as well as developing cultural tolerance and the ability to enjoy eating socially and having that come back to American culture, that food is where we get together with people that we love. And then the final one is leading and teaching others. So these teens in this picture are at our first annual Teen Battle Chef Invitational, where they teens from all over the Northeast gathered to compete in a cooking competition. So the Teen Battle Chef program works in two main ways. So the first is an 8-week program where they learn their culinary skills and their nutrition background. And they do this in 2 teams, meet weekly, usually weekly. Some do it every day for 5 days instead. And they battle in their team. So slight competition to see which team can make the best recipe and present it the best. So they do it as if they were on a food cooking show, much like Rachel Ray does. They show from start to finish how to make the dish so that each student leaves knowing how to make at least 2 new recipes that day. And the recipes are all multicultural and healthy and very vibrant. And then after their 8-week core curricula, they do leadership extensions where they do internships or projects in their community based on their interests, the needs of their community, and their resources in schools, in adult home residences, in summer camps, farmers markets, and restaurants. And these teams in this picture are at this year's Invitational, where 45 teams from all over the country got together to compete and share their skills with a large audience of over 100. So our research efforts up to now have been a small program pilots where we looked at our efficacy and how well we were meeting our goals, and a lot of qualitative data and some quantitative data, and that quantitative review is in the September edition of JNEB this year, which we're really excited about. And we were so encouraged by our data that we'd gotten to date that we decided that last year we would conduct a large quantitative study with our educational partner, HealthCore. So HealthCore is a large nonprofit funded by Dr. Mehmet Oz. And each of the HealthCore's 52 high schools in 14 states runs Team Battle Chef at least once a year. And they're facilitated by the HealthCore coordinators, who are young people that are placed in those schools to do a two-year term of service teaching and coordinating health activities. If you're interested, I can tell you more about it, because that's how I got into this work, because I was the HealthCore coordinator. So they're very committed to measuring their impact. So this year we conducted a study where we wanted to look at the impact of Team Battle Chef on HealthCore students. And so these are the questions that we were looking at. Really, we wanted to look at two sides of the coin. We wanted to look at the personal impact on the participating teens, both with regard to their health and their empowerment, which we know is connected from our social cognitive theory and also from our ecological logic models. So on the health side, we're looking at their health attitudes and behaviors. And then on the empowerment side, we're looking at the skills they've developed as well as their self-esteem and confidence. And then, on the flip side, we're looking at the ripple effect that the teens are having on their peers and families. And we knew from anecdotal evidence that this was happening at a large rate, especially with families. So this year we set out to measure that impact on their adult guardians. So the study design follows much like our other studies that we're looking at today, the REAIM model. And we used a mixed methods approach. We had pre-post surveys of three varieties, a leadership survey and a health survey for the youth, and an adult health survey. And those were based on the YRBSS. And for our qualitative data, we did some focus groups. And so we measured the change for our eight-week intervention. That picture, by the way, I can't help but share. It's the Brooklyn Grange. It's a huge rooftop farm, not garden, but actual farm in New York City. So our survey instruments, here's some more detail about what we're looking at, but similar questions to that we've seen in our earlier presentations today. How many servings of vegetables are you eating per week? Which types of vegetables are you eating? And we looked at both self-reports for food recall for 1 day and 7 days previous. And the adult survey, we also looked at family health changes, such as when you go shopping, are you inviting your teens? When you're cooking at home, are you inviting your teens to participate? Do you feel comfortable allowing your child to use a knife in the kitchen? That sort of thing. And then in our focus groups, we delved a little deeper into why the results we got were so prevalent. So our analysis typically done using Excel and then SPSS. And our respondent demographics, we're pretty disappointed with our response rate. We had a 54% response rate from the HealthCore coordinators turning in their surveys, which totaled 265 respondents. However, most of those, 201, were unusable due to that they either were missing identification numbers, or we only got pre's and no posts, or they used an old version of the survey due to some errors we had in our document uploading in our server. But what we did end up with was 64 match surveys for the youth health and 32 for youth leadership, and only 2 for our adult surveys. So what we saw was that we have a pretty even distribution across grade level, many more females than males, so 70% female. And for our ethnic distribution, we have about 45% Black and African American, and then the next largest group is our Latinos and Hispanics at 22%. Okay, so our results. So despite our small sample size, we were pretty pleased with the results that we saw, and our significance here is where our p-value is significant, is the starred one there, at 12.7% change in the ability to prepare a recipe. And the reason we got so excited about this is because it's our number one goal, that the teens learn to cook. And then, so you can see there's some uptrends and some downtrends in these others, but none of the others were significant. And then we got really excited when we saw the leadership capacity changes, because it confirmed something that we have not quantitatively measured in the past, that the overall leadership capacity of our teens, their ability to problem solve, communicate with their peers and with people older and younger than them, and their ability to lead presentations has markedly increased. So we saw a 5% increase in overall, and then a 5.7% increase in problem solving and conflict resolution, as well as a large uptake, 8.7%, in their ability to do public speaking and teach others. And then you can see the rest of those questions are all trending up. So here's our poor adults. They didn't do any responses. So our focus group results, we looked a little deeper with our teens at, you know, what's really going on here. And what we saw was some mixed results. The teens reported that they, you know, for these individual questions, it was really mixed for them. But they do report a general trend toward healthier eating. And what they reported about the availability of unhealthy foods, junk foods and soda in particular, is that once they reach 16 and they begin working, these foods are more available to them in the workplace. So despite Teen Battle Chef, they go back to eating junk foods because that's what's around. And we were encouraged by what they said about the food recall, which is that they have a very difficult time doing food recall, both for the day before and 7 days before. So we're really looking to reevaluate how we do our food recall or perhaps food diarying. And then something interesting that they said that pointed to some program evaluation that we need to do is that for cooking at home, the teens are cooking more at home, but not with their families. And the reason that they cited for this is both that their families work in shifts, so they're often not home at mealtimes, and like many teenagers, they don't really want to hang out with their folks. So for the research design weaknesses, we do have a small sample size, so that really hurt our power there. And then we have recall bias, like was stated earlier. We think that, you know, these students, they really know what we want to hear. And the recall unreliability was a large issue for us. And the lack of control group, it keeps us from being able to compare what impacts are from Family Cook Productions programming and what could be from other health core initiatives or other initiatives in their schools. So our 2011 research plan takes these into account, and we're very excited to do this study next year with Health Core. Well, we're going to use what I'm calling an experimental cohort study, where we'll have case groups that will be teen battle chefs from Health Core classes in each of the 15 California Health Core schools and each of the 15 New York Health Core schools. And then our control groups will come from Health Core classes that do not participate in Teen Battle Chef. And that will allow us to do several things, which first of all is that we'll get to compare those policy and food environments that are so vastly different between New York and California, as well as tease apart the impact that Health Core has versus the impact that Teen Battle Chef plus Health Core has. So we'll really be able to look at both our synergistic abilities when we come together and our impacts separately. It'll also reduce the confounders that we might have had when we looked at Teen Battle Chef conducted at schools all over the country in 14 states, because the California schools will be more similar to each other and the New York schools will be more similar to each other in how the programs are administrated as far as implementation goes. So we're going to do pre-post surveys, and there'll be quantitative data from a youth leadership and health survey. It'll be together this time and much shortened. About 3 pages shorter. And the adult health survey, we're going to go for that again, but with a mandated return rate, and we'll do some incentivizing to improve our returns on that. And then we're going to revitalize our food recall approach, and I'd be excited to hear anybody's contributions to your advice on how we might do that. Okay. Oh, you know what, actually... And the last thing that we're going to do that will vastly improve the quality of our study next year is that we'll be training the Health Core coordinators intensely in their January professional development on how to administer great quantitative and qualitative research. So the coordinators are recent college graduates. They are often between their undergrad and graduate work. So this will give them an opportunity to be trained as public health workers, and it's really the newest generation of public health workers will go into their graduate studies already knowing the basics of how to conduct an epidemiological study. So our conclusions that we drew this year is that Team Battle Chef is effective at improving the self-efficacy and expanding student leadership capacity. So we're glad to have confirmed that suspicion there, and that we really need to do more program focus on connecting teens with their families. And that's my big program challenge for next year, is how do we implement some new activities that will have teens get together with their families. We'll be reevaluating our tools, as we said, and we'll be training those health core coordinators. So our implication for public health, I really just want to leave you with that youth are an underutilized resource for advancing public health strategies. And if we can leverage their enthusiasm and their eagerness to transform their dietary self-efficacy and then pass on that learning to their communities, we can really be doing great work in building healthy communities using our teens. So this last picture, what I'll leave you with is that this is the teens' activism walk across the Brooklyn Bridge. They decided that they wanted to do a walk to raise awareness, and then they led cooking demonstrations and nutrition workshops when they got across the bridge at an urban garden that they had been interning in all summer. So these are our summer interns here. So this is our contact information, and I really thank again my Family Cook team, especially Katie Becker, and our research partners at both Einstein and HealthCore. Dr. Judy Wiley-Rosette is a huge help in establishing good research practices for us, as well as my advisor at Hunter College. Okay. So that's our research team. If you'd like our contact information, I also have business cards at the back of the room. I've got some in my pocket as well. So I'd love to hear from you about what you're doing, and I'd love to get your research so that I can cite it in the future and hopefully copy some of your really great research designs. I'll answer questions if you like. Sure, Liz. Oh, what a great question. I love that question. So I'll repeat the question for the recording. How does one get Teen Battle Chef in a high school or anywhere else? So the program runs in farms, after-school organizations, nonprofits, and schools. So it really can be anywhere. And how you get Teen Battle Chef in your program is you give me an email or a call, and you have someone trained, we set up a budget, and Team Battle Chef has great connections to Circulon and OXO, lucky for us, so we have most of the equipment that you'll need for the program donated, including portable stoves. And then the program can be run anywhere, it doesn't have to be a kitchen, it doesn't have to have running water even, it just needs access to water, and then you have two educators trained, and either you have a boatload of them trained, you know, eight or more trained, and we come to you, or they come to New York, and there's a training fee and a curriculum licensing fee. And then I mentor you ongoingly throughout the program cycle, and then you'll be invited to participate in our nationwide leadership activities for teens. Yeah. Yes, in the back. Yes. So the question was, have we considered using pictures from cell phones for food diarying to take care of our evaluation process? And yes, it's definitely something we're considering for next year. And we went to some presentations this week to get a handle on, you know, how effective is that as an evaluation tool. And there are major concerns about its reliability. But it might be fun to do as an educational tool anyway. We've done some great photo voice projects with teens and young children in the past at Family Cook, so it's time to revisit it.
Why are you concerned about reliability?
Well, the question is, why are you concerned with reliability for photo diarying? Because the teens often forget to take pictures of everything they've eaten, is one, and two, sometimes the pictures are incomprehensible. You can't tell what that was, and you need a little log to go along with it, so you know the date and you know how much of that thing they ate, or did they share it, or did they buy it for somebody else. And reporting seems to be challenging to get those logs back.
I was sending them an email once an hour, 16 hours a
We could absolutely do sending emails, you know, once an hour every, you know, during the day for a week if we wanted to do that. It would be a really time intensive study, and my research staff consists of me and a research intern. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love, the comment is that we really have a huge opportunity because we have such a great cohort available to us to establish a new realm of what's possible for food recall, and it would be such a huge help to our industry. And I agree with you. I'm looking for innovative solutions, and if I can get a little grassroots support on collecting that data and making sure it's rigorous, then I think that's a great idea to do something that intensive. I just have concerns about our making the sample size large enough for it to be significant. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, we'll talk afterward and get linked up. Great. Yes, we'll pursue some NIH funding for mobile technology. That, I am all about that. That would be terrific. I'll expand my research capacity in order to do so. Any other questions? Yes.
I have a question which might be for somebody else, like Dr. Bowden, for example. I heard recently on Jarda in California there's been some controversy around banning chocolate milk in schools. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that?
Do you want to come to the mic? There is some empirical data out there about the trade-offs of chocolate milk versus no milk. And there, in the literature, like if you do a PubMed search, you'll come up with a lot on the milk controversy and trying, and even the idea of leaving whole percent behind. Look in your program. There was one session on that this during the week. Yes, that's a polemic. Any other questions? Okay, great. Well, I really thank you so much for being here and having your time be with us for your last session at the American Public Health Association annual meeting.
Thank you.